off.
You can hear more of Tom Thibodeau and Karl Anthony Towns at 7:30 Eastern on the NBA on ESPN Radio. That game also tips off an ESPN doubleheader. It'll be followed by the Clippers and Warriors. Steph Curry out tonight with a sprained right ankle.
Trey Wingo here coming up Thursday, NFL Divisional Weekend getting closer. We'll have our experts here to break down the games. Adam Schefter, Bill Polian, and Stu Gatz join. Golic and Wingo, Thursday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN 2.
Welcome to Spain and Fit.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Max Life filter for $29.99 or upgrade to a K&N filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. John Gruden was introduced Tuesday in Oakland as their new head coach after 17 years away from the team. The 54-year-old signing a 10-year deal with the Raiders. Gruden says he is ready to get back to work and get the Raiders back on track. New head coach Matt Nagy was also introduced on Tuesday for the Bears. The former Chiefs offensive coordinator telling reporters he plans on calling the plays for Chicago. Nagy took over play calling duties from Andy Reid in Week 13, before the Chiefs went on a four-game winning streak. Panthers offensive coordinator Mike Shula was fired in Carolina on Tuesday, along with QB coach Ken Dorsey. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport is reporting Norv Turner is a possible candidate for the OC job. Rappaport also reporting the Chargers are bringing back defensive coordinator Gus Bradley on a three-year deal, as well as offensive coordinator Ken Wisenhunt for 2018. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generics.
I'm a squeaky toy, and I've got one job, getting chomped on by this little ankle sniffer. So pardon me for feeling inept compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, while I'm getting slobbered on, Geico is creating cool technology like their mobile app, which lets people pay their bills or file a claim. Plus, Geico is the fastest-growing auto insurer for the last 10 years. Is it too much for me to ask for one more feature? Fast and friendly claim service like Geico, maybe? Oh, great. I'm getting buried again.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
504, welcome back in. Welcome to hour number two of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Still to come, you and I play-by-play voice Gary Rima will be with us. You'll hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. You and I in Terre Haute tonight to take on Indiana State. That game tips off at 6 o'clock locally, 7 o'clock in Terre Haute at the Holman Center. And you and I looking to do the same thing that Iowa State was looking to do last night. That's break into the win column in their conference. Cyclones couldn't get it done, falling on the road at Kansas. Here to talk about that and more with us, Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. And Alex, pretty good effort last night from the Cyclones, but they just could not close down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it's rare for fans recently to take any moral victories, you know, the two overtime losses and that sort of thing. But I think I saw a little bit of that in last night's game against Kansas. I think going into that game, Iowa State, a 16-point underdog, and most people, the way the last few games have gone and some of the issues they've had, figured that was going to be a game where, you know, they were just out of it right from the start. And they played really well in the first half, and then, you know, were in that game 73 all late. And I think we saw the same thing that we've seen from them and that we've talked about is, you know, a lot of turnovers that cost them and just some poor decision-making from a young team. So there were positives, and I think the positive is that you saw young players step up with Wendell Wigginton and Cameron Martin especially. But, you know, they're still trying to figure some of those things out. And finish is the big word that they've been talking about, but I think part of it's just they got to lose some of these games before they figure out how to win them.
You mentioned the fan base, and I want to talk about that for a second. This team is 0-4 in the Big 12. Last night's effort, you'd say it's a little bit of a moral victory going on the road and taking Kansas down to the wire. But you look at the schedule coming up, there's a very real chance that this team could make marked improvement and not win a whole lot of games. Where is this fan base at looking at this team and possibly seeing some improvement but realizing how difficult this schedule is going to be?
Yeah, I think you're right. That's the thing right now is the Big 12, just from top to bottom, there's no real pushover. Now, there are some teams that are 1-3 right now, but even a team like Iowa State that might finish 10th here can go to Kansas and at least stick with them right now. You know, so that's the difficulty of the Big 12 is, you know, like you said, they might make some improvements, and they've made some improvements even in not playing great basketball, and they're still losing games. You know, they've lost two overtime games now and then last night's game on the road at Allen Fieldhouse. So they've made some improvements at times, but you're still losing games. You got, you know, Baylor coming up. You got Texas Tech, who's all of a sudden the top 10 team, TCU. You know, these teams, they're not going to have much room for error. And so I think the fan base, the quick little losing streak, you know, to open Big 12 play and those sorts of things, I think have settled them a little bit. I think a lot of the expectations have come down, you know, back to them realizing this was going to be a building year. Because, you know, when they went on that 9-game winning streak, you know, going into conference play, I think a lot of people all of a sudden said, you know, maybe they aren't as bad as we thought they would be. And so that, I think, started to come down, and now I think a lot of people have settled into let's just hope that, you know, what Wendell Wigginton and Cameron Mard and Solomon Young and those guys do mean something next year, because we've seen teams like TCU and Oklahoma kind of took their lumps even last year with young teams, and now they're playing well. And I think a lot of people are hoping that's the case with Iowa State, because they might improve, but there still might not be a lot of wins out there for them this year.
Alex Halstead with us from 247sports.com. Steve Prohm said prior to last night's game that he was looking for consistency from this team. What do they need to do on the floor to become more consistent, in your opinion, Alex?
I think a lot of it is just consistent and knowing what they're supposed to do. We saw in a couple Big 12 games, and it was an issue at times last night, is perimeter defense, I think, or handling picks, I guess, on defense. You know, those are things that I think you just need reps at. That's what Steve Prohm said, is, you know, you can tell the players and keep telling them what to do, and, you know, they haven't got to do as much 5-on-5 in practice as they've wanted to, because they haven't had a full roster until recently. So it's been a little bit of an issue to try to practice some of the things in terms of real game situations. But, you know, they can tell Cameron Lard what to do on certain picks and those sorts of things, but they've continued to make some of those mistakes. And he thinks, and I think he's probably right, is that some of those issues aren't going to be fixed until they just keep seeing them in games and finally realize things click, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. So I think some of it's just going to be game reps. You know, the more they play together and the more some of these guys, you know, Cameron Large played, you know, 15 Big 12 games now, or 15 college basketball games, same with Wendell Wigginton, and some of those other guys haven't played much either. So I think just the more they play in these games, the more consistent they'll become. And then I think some of it is just, you know, becoming smarter players at this level. You know, they had 17 turnovers yesterday and still managed to stick in that game, but that turnover number can't be that high, especially on the road, and win a Big 12 game. So I think there's things they have to clean up, but I think some of it might just become with learning on the fly, which isn't the most encouraging thing, I don't think, for fans, because typically when you're learning in a game, you're going to take some lumps, but you know, that's probably the only way that they can build this thing is by, you know, kind of learning it in actual games.
Experience is clearly a common theme with this team late in games. But other than that factor, what has been ailing this team when it comes down the stretch in games against Texas, Oklahoma State, and then Kansas last night?
I think a little bit of it has been, you know, who takes over. You know, in the past, you know, years back, they'd go to George Niang and he'd kind of take over. I think Monte at times handled that last year. We saw him in his career and really towards the end of his career hit some big shots. And Donovan Jackson should be that guy. I think he's supposed to be that guy. We've seen him hit big threes and he hit six of them yesterday. And and was a big reason they stuck in that game. But, you know, one of his shots late got blocked. You know, he kind of tried to, you know, make a move on a guy and then, you know, pulled up for the shot and it got blocked. And I think some of it right now, they just got to figure out who's going to take over. You know, in the loss in overtime to Oklahoma State, Lindell Wigginton had followed out. And so that's a key piece not to have, you know, when he's probably the guy that's got to – you're going to have to get to the rim. You know, Nick Babb's not always the most assertive. So I think one of the problems, other than the turnovers and at times shot selection or not being in the right place on defense, which starts to get to a lengthy list of issues that aren't consistent that we've just talked about, I think one of the things is just figuring out who's going to finish the games, because that's been the key word from promos. They need to finish and those sorts of things, but they need to figure out who's going to do that. And I think eventually you'd like that to be maybe a Lindell Wigginton, but so far I think you know, they've just struggled who's taking those shots at the end, because we really saw the offense fall apart late. You know, after it was 73 all, people didn't know who wanted to take the shots or what kind of offense they wanted to run. And so I think they're still figuring out that is how do you play those last 4 minutes after that final media timeout.
Wigginton played all 40 minutes last night. How does Prohm balance needing to keep him on the floor with the realization that he's still a freshman and at some point he's going to run into the wall?
Yeah, that was something yesterday. He didn't really go to the bench a ton. You know, we saw Jeff Beverly didn't play at all. Jacoby Long didn't play at all. And I think, I don't know what he ended up with, but late in the game, and I don't think he came back. So Antalya had 6 minutes. So I think yesterday was a little bit of an anomaly. Prohm doesn't like to go much more than eight deep. Yesterday, I think he stuck with guys because they were in a game that, you know, they had a chance to win. And I think he just stuck with what was working. But he's kind of always been pretty loose on the minutes. You know, we saw Nick Babb play 40 minutes quite a bit so far this season, or 38, 39. And, you know, he's told us when we've asked about it, and he did the same thing with Monte, that he thinks there's enough time in college basketball and the age of these kids that they can do it. But it is something you got to kind of try to manage. I don't think he's going to want to play Wigginton 40 minutes, you know, the rest of the season. And that's, I think, another thing they got to figure out is when they do bring in Zran Talley or, you know, guys like that off the bench, they've got to get some of that similar production, because, you know, you can't afford to play, especially I think Nick Babb right now, he's the one that is, like Prohm said, he's guarding the best player when they're on defense. He's got the ball in his hands when they're on offense. And he's also kind of got a knee issue right now that isn't going to go away the rest of the season. And I think it's like a tendonitis issue that he's just going to have. And so he especially, I don't think, can be playing 40 minutes every night. And so they got to kind of figure out that rotation. And that's one thing they're trying to work through now that they have a full lineup, is Prohm said that he needs to figure out the seven, eight guys that they're going to get back down to on a consistent basis.
What do you make of this matchup on Saturday at Hilton Coliseum against Baylor? Is this a game that they should win? And do you think that if they can't get this game, win this game, a panic might set in of, wow, when are they going to collect their first win? Because it might be one of the few times they're favored the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting game, because we've seen them now, you know, they've admitted and they've talked about a couple times, including right before this Kansas game, that the Kansas State game to open Big 12 play, Prohm said they simply didn't show up. You know, there's not really anything you can say other than they played poorly that night and they didn't show up. But the last three games they've been in them, you know, they were up, I think, 5 points with 9.5 minutes left against Texas, and that's a lot of time, but they only scored 7 minutes in the rest of regulation. And that game goes to overtime and they lose. They were up 8 points with 3.5 minutes against Oklahoma State. Couldn't finish it, go to overtime and lose. And then they lost by five last night to Kansas. And so they've been in the last three games, and it's kind of like, you know, they're right there. But instead of being even 2-2 or having one win out of a couple of those close games, they're 0-4. And like you said, they come back home to Baylor. I think there's a little bit of optimism, I think, probably with the team. Even I think like going to Allen Fieldhouse and sticking with the number 12 team in the country with some of the struggles they've had, I think gives them a little bit of confidence that they can continue to stick in some of these Big 12 games and, you know, start to get some wins. But Baylor's 1-3, but they've been playing well. They've been at least right there with last night with West Virginia, and they've lost some close games just like Iowa State. They're a little bit more put together, but this is, I think, an opportunity for Iowa State to get one of those wins if they play like they did last night. But you're right, you know, if you lose that game, all of a sudden you got TCU on the road, who's a, you know, top 15 team. You got then Texas Tech at home, but that's a top 10 team right now. And then you go to Texas. And so if you don't get this win against Baylor, you're 0-5 with two top 15 teams coming up, and you could conceivably get to 0-7 pretty quickly. So the thing that I've found interesting is the players have seemed to stay upbeat, but at some point, if you don't at least get a win here or there, you wonder, you know, I'm not saying they're going to shut it down, but when that starts to get to them a little bit, that they don't have any wins in the Big 12.
Alex Halstead with us from 24/7 Sports, talking a little Iowa State basketball and now football with us. Matt Campbell's got a hole to fill on his coaching staff. Lou Iene, the running backs coach, is headed back to his alma mater, Northwestern, to work for Pat Fitzgerald. Any idea on the candidates for replacing him in Ames?
Yeah, so you know, we knew they were going to have one opening because I think it was as of the 9th. So as of yesterday, you know, college programs can add a 10th assistant. And that 10th assistant, all signs have been pointed to Joe Houston. He's currently on their staff as a quality control assistant for special teams. And it sounds like they're going to, you know, most likely, unless Campbell has changed his mind in recent months, they're going to go to him as their 10th assistant. And probably he would be their special teams coach. Well, now they've got a second job, as you mentioned, with Lou Iene leaving. And so two spots to fill. I think one of them will go to Joe Houston to probably be special teams coach, unless, like I said, Campbell decided to go in a different direction. In terms of names for Iene, I haven't heard a ton, but one interesting name I think seems plausible is Anthony Johnson. So Lou Iene was with Matt Campbell at Toledo, left to join Paul Rhodes in 2014, and Matt Campbell replaced him with a guy named Anthony Johnson. And then when Campbell came to Iowa State, he brought most of his staff, but Iene was already there, so they didn't need a running backs coach. Anthony Johnson remained at Toledo, then went to Texas to join Charlie Strong and end up getting fired with Charlie Strong. So he's still kind of on the market for the last year. That's one question I have is, you know, I don't think he's been anywhere, so I don't know what's up with that. But he's one name that I'm at least intrigued by in terms of someone I'm maybe keeping an eye on to possibly replace Iene.
Alex, yesterday we saw the way too early top 25 rankings come out. Iowa State made their way into a couple of those, and then they received the news that Brian Peavy and speculating that DeAndre Payne would be back as well. How big are those two coming back for this football program heading into 2018?
Yeah, I think it's big, you know, get Peavy. I think he had told us in Memphis he was 50-50, and I think it makes sense for him to come back, but in this day and age, you know, I think some players, if they're going to get drafted even in those middle rounds, which Peavy probably would have been, I would guess, fifth or lower, you know, some players will still go. But I think it's big to get them back. You know, get two senior defensive backs who, you know, Peavy, according to PFF College, was the 11th highest graded cornerback in college football this year. And he did well in coverage. I think in the regular season he gave up 24 catches on 49 targets. Now, Memphis had a lot more success against him. That was probably his worst game of the year, but you know, he did hold his own in the Big 12, and so that's big to get him back. Gives their young guys a little bit more time to develop. So big to get them back, and you know, that defense doesn't lose a ton. You lose a defensive end and J.D. Wagner, you lose your middle linebacker and Phil Wanning, and then you lose all three starting safeties. But they get basically their entire cornerbacks, most of their defensive line, and two of their top defensive players in Marcel Spears and Willie Harvey back. So the defense mostly returns everybody because Spears and Payne are coming back.
Last question here before we part ways with you, Alex. A lot of Iowa State fans getting really excited about next season and with the football team, and Georgia won the Liberty Bowl last year, and they're playing for the national championship on Monday night. How does Matt Campbell manage the expectations that are going to be surrounding this program next season?
Yeah, I think that's one thing, and he's talked about it with his team, and maybe he'll have to do it with the fan base a little bit. You know, he's talked about with the team when they start having some of that success in October, you know, winning those four straight games and getting ranked and all that sort of thing that he talked with them about. You know, it's been difficult in recent years for Iowa State to handle failure. You know, they've had some seasons, you know, before Campbell got to Ames where they went downhill quickly because players, I think, not necessarily checked out, but they weren't, once they started losing games, it was just kind of, here we go again. And so he said the flip side, he had to kind of teach the team about handling success because that was new to them in some sense too. And that's going to, I think, be the case a little bit with the fan base. I'm not saying they shouldn't have high hopes for the future, but, you know, they're still losing some key pieces next year. I think quarterback's going to be a question still. Is it going to be Zeb Nolan? Is it going to be a graduate transfer? I don't think Kyle Kemp gets a sixth year, but, you know, maybe he does. So there are some major questions on the team next year. It's another good Big 12. You know, I think if I were to pick them today, I'd probably pick them sixth, probably seventh in the Big 12 right now. So you're still kind of middle of the pack until I think you continue to prove that you can sustain some things. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons to be excited. They return most of the roster next year, and they don't lose a lot next year going into 2019. So the next couple of years could be good years for Iowa State, but I think, you know, they still have some things to prove, and that's one thing I think, you know, Campbell's kind of taught his team that. I think the fan base kind of has to remain a little level-headed, too, as we move forward. Not to say they shouldn't be excited as well.
Great stuff, as always, Alex. We appreciate the time. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Alex Halstead, 24/7 Sports, covering the Cyclones. Hit on basketball and a little football talk with us here on a Wednesday night, January 10th, as we gear up for the Cedar Rapids Colonels Hot Stove Banquet, which is a week from tonight at the East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. KGYM, once again, happy to be a media sponsor for that event. Want to remind everybody, if you do not have your tickets yet, you can save a little money by buying them in advance. Go to colonels.com. Former Colonels and current Minnesota Twins Mitch Garver and Zach Granite scheduled to make a stop on the Twins Winter Caravan, along with new Colonels manager Toby Gardenhire and current hitting coach Brian Dinkelman. A couple members of the Twins front office will be in town as well. You get dinner. There is a cash bar. There is a silent auction with a ton of great items on it. And all of the proceeds go right back into the community. The Colonels Take the Lead initiative and the Colonels Foundation, the beneficiaries of the ticket sales for this year's Hot Stove Banquet. Should be a great night again. The East Bank Venue and Lounge, a week from tonight in downtown Cedar Rapids, annual Hot Stove Banquet with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. I'll be there. Hope to see you there as well. Get your tickets now, kgymradio.com, for more information. We'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, you'll hear from the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima. He joined us earlier today from Terre Haute, Indiana, where UNI looks to break into the win column tonight in the MVC. They've got Indiana State on the schedule. More to come, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, back after this.
So, I was planning my resolutions. Lose 10 pounds. Again. Pluck my brows. Ouch! Stop stressing. Yeah, right. Then it occurred to me, what I really needed was a prettier financial picture. So, I joined DuPaco Community Credit Union and scheduled a money makeover. As a member at a cooperative like DuPaco, I'm also an owner. Every other member owner has my back, positioning me to improve my financial position at every turn. That's beautiful. DuPaco is more than local. They take a holistic approach to money. Once all my loans and checking were moved to DuPaco, they sleuth savings every possible way. Now I'm saving more, earning more, and shared branching and mobile deposit give me much better control of and access to my money. This new year, I'm getting fat-free, stress-free, and checking-free. I'm feeling pretty and pretty smart.
Join DuPaco Community Credit Union and get your financial life
resolved.
DuPaco Community Credit Union, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
Okay, the holidays are over and you're thinking about selling your home this year. Doug McAllister and the team at Pinnacle Realty know how quickly spring will be here and know what to do to get your home ready for the selling season, now just weeks away. The Cedar Rapids housing market was white hot last year, and right now, Pinnacle can make sure your home is ready to sell at your price. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Spring is closer than you think.
Find out how you can bring your work to life at Frontier Co-op. Frontier Co-op will have a career fair Wednesday, January 17th from 2 to 6 p.m. at 3021 78th Street in Norway, Iowa. Stop by and learn more about employment opportunities and the great benefits of working for Frontier Co-op, including subsidized on-site childcare. Frontier Co-op is currently hiring for multiple positions and all shifts. Learn how you can bring your work to life. Attend the Frontier Co-op Career Fair Wednesday, January 17th from 2 to 6 p.m. in Norway. View current openings at frontiercoop.com. Frontier Co-op is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back in. We've got current odds on the 2019 National Championship. We'll get to those coming up in hour number three. Also, a little audio from Kirk Ferentz's visit with the media earlier today in Iowa City. We recapped it with Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette in hour number one. The podcast will be available shortly at kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question today. Who will be Iowa's backup quarterback in the fall? Is it going to be Peyton Manziel, who's currently on the roster, or Spencer Petras, the incoming freshman who's set to arrive on campus tomorrow. You know, the Stalkers and Gawkers bus tour would have a stop at the Eastern Iowa Airport so that you could see celebrity arrivals, such as incoming freshman quarterback Spencer Petras. I'm trying to get everything here organized here. There's something to this after reading the story about the Ferences planting the trees on their property next to the road to limit the Stalkers and Gawkers. And if I can monetize this, I'm going to do it.
Somebody asked earlier if there's going to be alcohol on this bus.
Oh, yeah, booze cruise.
There has to be.
Total booze cruise.
No offense, but there has to be.
Well, yeah, for a markup. You got to see.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You got to turn a profit. Someone's got to
drink
keep the gas in the bus.
You can drink on the bus, but you have to buy the alcohol from us, and we're going to mark it up a little bit. Got to pay for that dram shop insurance, right? The liability, something like that. I don't know. I was only
so. How many stops do you have so far? And you realize I say you because and not we.
Yeah,
because I'm letting you.
There
take
were
this
some
one.
Suggestions on here. I think we're up to about five or six of them. And Mark Morehouse is very concerned that if this did come to fruition, that the city of Fairfax would basically drive him to the city limits and eject him. But all you have to do then is cut the towns in on it. You just have to say, hey, we'll give you a little piece of the pie. Maybe stop for gas at one of your gas stations or make a lunch stop at one of your bars or restaurants, and everything's copacetic. See, I'm way ahead of folks on this one.
You should plan the next bid to bring a casino to Cedar Rapids.
I've been down Mark Dukes' street. It's a little bit of a tight street. I don't know whether we could fit the entire motor coach down there or not. Maybe we would have to park it at the end of the block and walk. That could be one of the stops as well. Oh, and May City Bowl, that would definitely be a stop on the tour. Tour's going to have to run on Wednesday nights.
It has to go
through campus,
right?
Because Wednesday night is bowling night in America. Wind through campus, point out some of the, this is the location where the wrestling team fought the basketball team in the mid-80s, right here on the Ped Mall. And stop, get off, everybody wets their whistle, you know? I don't know. I'm on to something here. I like it. 319-366-1600 as we creep up on the bottom of the hour. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, is set to join us coming up in just a little bit. We caught up with him earlier today. You'll hear from him as he joined us from Terre Haute, where UNI looks to break into the win column. No wins for UNI, Iowa, or Iowa State in conference play, and it's January 10th. UNI's got the next shot at it tonight. They tip off in about a little over half an hour at the Holman Center. And then Iowa is in action on the road tomorrow. They've got Illinois in Champaign, the State Farm Center, formerly Assembly Hall.
Deadspin.
Deadspin
has picked it up.
Barstool Sports. Everybody's got it. The Kirk Ferentz, Kirk and Mary. I don't want to cut Mary out of this. She's a vital part of the story as well. The Ferentzes and their legal dispute with their neighbors. There's nothing worse than not getting along with your neighbors. And then fighting over things such as the Homeowners Association. 319-366-1600. That's why I'm glad we get along.
I have no experience with that.
We get along with both of the neighbors that we have, and soon to have a third one. Do you count the people who live behind you as a neighbor?
Yeah.
So if you share, what about the people across the street?
Yes.
You got a street in between you. Neighbors as well?
What about
neighbors?
Anybody
I think
in your little cul-de-sac?
You got to share property. So I think we'll have three neighbors.
So the people two houses down from you are not neighbors?
They're in the neighborhood. This is much like Christmas was right around the corner in Halloween. I'm going to stick to my guns.
That
on
was
this
before
one.
Halloween.
Your neighbors live next door to you. People are in the neighborhood if they're beyond one house from you. 319-366-1600. And that is how you eventually get to a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor to meet all your banking needs. Here's Kyle.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media in Iowa City today and had a few tidbits to deliver. First, he spoke glowingly about James Daniels and his decision to leave school for the NFL draft. He even went so far as to say he's the best center prospect he's coached going back to his NFL days. He also said that Alaric Jackson is back from break and working out with the team, essentially back in good standing with Iowa after violating team rules in the bowl season. He also said the backup quarterback competition will be wide open, and incoming freshman Spencer Petras is going to arrive in Iowa City tomorrow. The Iowa State men hung around with 12th-ranked Kansas last night in Lawrence, but ultimately fell short 83-78. Lindell Wigginton submitted another good scoring output with 27 points on 50% from the floor. Donovan Jackson also scored 20, and Nick Weiler-Babbitt 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. Cameron Lard also turned in another double-double with 15 points and 10 rebounds. It was a pretty good showing as far as losses go, but the Cyclones do remain winless in the conference. The UNI men will also be going for their first conference victory tonight on the road at Indiana State. The Sycamores come in at 2-2 in the MVC, while the Panthers are the only remaining winless team. That game's going to tip off at 6 o'clock. Beginning at 6:30, our show's going to be on the FM frequencies only, and that's because we'll have the Iowa State women hosting Kansas State on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And then after the show, we've got a top 10 men's matchup for you between 10th-ranked Xavier and top-ranked Villanova. You can hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
See, I like the way that the text line thinks here, because you can't just load people on the bus and take them around and point out. You're just fleecing people there. You have to build in value. You have to have stops. Like the Sopranos tour that I wanted to take the day of the bowl game. It only runs on the weekends and select days during the week. And December 27th was one of the days. And I was talked out of it by Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation, who said, look, if there's an accident in the tunnel going to or from New Jersey, you're parked in traffic all afternoon. You're not going to make the game. So I punted on the idea of taking the tour, but they take you to Holston's, which is the diner in New Jersey where they shot the final scene of The Sopranos. They take you to the Gentleman's Club that in the show it's the Bada Bing. In real life, it had a different name. Now, a member of the media told me that it had closed, though, and I didn't ask any particulars on how they had that information. But you got to build in stops. So somebody on the text line says, Dan Gable doesn't live too far from Kirk Ferentz, rumor has it. And Gable told the story when he was on the air with us several years ago of the guy, I think he was from Ohio or Pennsylvania or something, where he'd driven and he wanted to wrestle Gable, and he just showed up at his doorstep and Gable took him down into the gym he's got in his basement and wrestled him. So I'm thinking there's a stop right there. You just ring the doorbell.
So let people pay high prices for drinks sampling, and go challenge Dan Gable.
You're great sampling idea. Bourbon and craft beers in Mark Morehouse's basement, and you're ringing Gable's doorbell to see whether he'd take you down in the basement and wrestle. See, look, you people laugh now, but when I'm not on the air in a couple weeks and I'm off making millions doing this, the Stalkers and Gawkers bus tour, you're going to wish you were in on the ground floor with me. We caught up with Gary Rima earlier from Terre Haute. You can hear what the voice of the Panthers has to say next.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm junior bacon cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. 8.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Alabama wideout Calvin Ridley and defensive lineman Deron Payne, along with Virginia Tech linebacker Tremaine Edwards, will all enter the NFL draft. All three are expected to be first-round picks by ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. The Seattle Times reports Georgia quarterback Jacob Eason is expected to transfer to the University of Washington. Eason started for the Bulldogs in 2016, but this season he hurt his knee in the opener and was replaced in the starting lineup by freshman Jake Fromm. The NBA on ESPN Radio tonight at 7:30 Eastern, Thunder and Timberwolves. That game also tips off an ESPN doubleheader. It'll be followed by the Warriors and Clippers. Golden State point guard Steph Curry out tonight. He sprained his right ankle at shoot-around earlier today. Cavaliers point guard Isaiah Thomas gets a $20,000 fine for hitting Andrew Wiggins of the Timberwolves above the shoulders Monday night. Heat forward James Johnson and Raptors forward Serge Ibaka each get one-game suspensions for throwing punches during last night's game in Toronto.
Hey, it's the Gouch. Join us Thursday. Pablo Torre, my nemesis. He's in as our guest co-host. I love him. I'm just teasing. No, I don't. Chris Sims is going to join us. He'll reveal to us his 48th best quarterback in the NFL. That's Thursday on the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stu Gouch, on ESPN Radio.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at just $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. We'll be on the FM frequencies only tonight, beginning at 6:30, because of Iowa State women's basketball. And speaking of hoops, I could be wrong, but the last time that we chatted with Gary Rima, we were talking about New Year's resolutions and resolving to win some Missouri Valley Conference basketball games, and still can't put a check mark in that box, can we, Gary?
Boy, we got to snap this losing streak real fast, Ty. We've got to get this thing turned around. It's not because of lack of effort. It's just been frustrating that shots haven't fallen for this team in this four-game losing streak in the Missouri Valley Conference. Six losses in a row when you go back to the last two non-conference games. So, but you know, the team's attitude is good. That they're working hard. That just got done earlier this afternoon with the shoot around in preparation for Indiana State. The team was upbeat. So, Coach Jake and his staff's doing a great job keeping these guys focused and ready to go. They just got to put together a complete game. And it feels like if this team can get that first conference win, that they can get on a roll. But it's got to start here soon, or you know, this season's going to get away from them.
Gary, this team got off to a slow start last year. Is there pretty much a common theme with the slow start last year and the slow start this year? Not scoring enough points?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a total common theme, but this year's team, it's been at the offensive end, just really struggling to score. And, you know, we're only averaging just over 52 points per game in our first four conference games. And, you know, we saw this team shoot it better than that during the non-conference part of the season against some really, really talented Division I programs. So, the common thread is that the team started 0-5 in the league a year ago. If you remember 2 years ago, the Panther basketball team was 10-11 at about this juncture of the season, 2-6 in the league, and then totally turned that around and had a great run and made it to the NCAA tournament, beat Texas, and had that heartbreaking loss to Texas A&M in the round of 32. So I still think that there's a lot of hope for this team, but the deeper you get mired in a losing streak, the tougher it seems to dig your way out of it. But I just think the biggest problems right now are just at the offensive end with this particular group of guys. And we know they can shoot. We know there's guys that can score it. That can be contagious once a few guys hit some shots. So hoping to get out to a good start tonight and see if this team can't get on a roll.
You and I taking on Indiana State at the Holman Center in Terre Haute tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off. Gary Reimer, play-by-play voice of the Panthers, joining us on the program. You talk about getting the shots to fall. 29.6% from beyond the arc, last in the Missouri Valley. That, to me, leaps off the page and is so un-UNI basketball.
Yeah, and Todd, that's why we're 0-4 in the league. This team at one point during the non-conference part of the season was hitting almost 40% of their three-point shots. And that's, anybody that follows UNI basketball knows that's a big part of the offense. That's a big weapon offensively. And you need Spencer Haldeman and Wyatt Lowhouse and Isaiah Brown and company to hit three-point shots. And when they don't go in, we're going to struggle at the offensive end. So, it's one of those deals where sometimes you feel like, man, you're just hoping that some shots will go in. But, you know, watching these guys shoot it at practice and at the shoot-around, there's some really good shooters on this team. And for some reason, get into a game and they're just, right now, they're just not falling. But that can turn around rather quickly, too. And I mentioned it earlier, but I think it's a situation where there's not a whole lot you're going to try and shake up or change at the offensive end. Even in the last couple of losses and talking with Coach Jacobson, we talked about the offense, and he said that they're taking good shots. It's not like the decision-making at the offensive end with shot selection is bad. It's just that what got open looks at threes, and they're just not going in. You just look back at the last game against Loyola. We're up three at halftime, but we missed three or four just wide-open great looks at threes. And if two or three of those go in, you're up 9 or 12 at halftime instead of only up 3, and then it's a totally different game. So it feels like when it all comes together again at the offensive end, this Panther team's going to put a hurting on somebody. But we're all just kind of waiting to see those shots start to fall again. And we need good inside scoring out of Bennett Cook. And I think Clint Carlson in tonight's game in particular could have a big offensive game. There's going to be times he's going to have a 6'5 guy guarding him. I think they're going to try and do some things to get Clint really going tonight. And if Clint and Bennett get going inside, that should really help the outside shooting too, that those guys are going to get some really good looks, and then you just got to knock them down.
You mentioned Clint Carlson. You mentioned Wyatt Lowhouse. This team seems to be searching for that consistent secondary scorer. Could one of those guys be the answer, especially Wyatt Lowhouse, who has seen his role increase since he's come back from injury?
Yeah, I think Wyatt's really key, Alex, moving forward for us to get to where we want to try and get to at the end of the year, headed into the conference tournament. Wyatt, to me, it's like he's a starter, really. He's playing starter minutes. He's one of the first guys in off the bench. He's a guy that you're going to look to try and get you double-digit points per game now that he's 100% healthy and looking good. So, but you know, I think we're also looking for somebody, you know, besides the starting five and then Haldeman and Lowhouse coming off the bench. I think we're still searching for that one or two other guys to just give us a little offensive punch off the bench. Coach Jacobson went to Adam McDermott last game and he got some extended minutes. He's a really good shooter, but it just hasn't showed up yet here in conference play. I think they're going to give him some more looks to see if he can help us at the offensive end. And then I still think you got to get something out of Austin Fife. You've got to have that second big guy to, you know, coming in to back up Bennett Cook that can get some things done offensively in the paint. And, you know, it was somebody like that, whether it's Fife, whether it's Luke McDonald, you may even see Luke get some minutes tonight. I think they're searching for that extra body or two coming off the bench to help this team and not put it all on the shoulders of Clint Carlson and Bennett Cook and those starters. So anxious to see what Coach does with his rotation tonight, because in talking with him, he felt that there's a couple of guys that really haven't seen a lot of playing time of late that he feels has looked really good in practice, and they deserve an opportunity, just like he's given Adam McDermott some extra looks here in these last couple of games.
Greg Lansing, Sycamores 7-9 overall, 2-2 in the Valley, but I saw a read where one of their players said that they're kind of desperate themselves for a win tonight. What type of game are you expecting?
It's always a tough place to play. There's just something about the Holman Center. Even when we've come in here and won, Todd, it's been a battle. I mean, we've won some ugly games here, some low scoring games, and he's got a really nice ball club. About 40 to 45% of their offense comes from their two starting guards, Barnes and Scott. Our young guards will have their hands full, I think, trying to guard them in our man-to-man defense. That'll be a key to watch for. They've got a couple of decent inside players that they're not afraid to throw the ball to. And, they're number one in the league in turning over their opponent. I think their opponents are averaging almost 16 turnovers per game. I think UNI's been really good in that category of late, but they'll have to take care of the ball tonight. And it just seems like when we've played here before that if you let these guys just run up and down the floor from Indiana State in transition, they can really fill it up and get it going really quickly. And I think that'll be key tonight in our transition defense, not to let them get down four quickly and hit open threes and get the crowd into the game. But this is always a tough game when we play Indiana State. Coach Lansing does a great job with his team, with the talent he has and the defense they play. And I think we've always played them pretty good. It's just that it's been tough to get wins here in Terre Haute against the Coach Lansing ball club.
Gary, you mentioned it there for just a second. The Bradley game, Coach Jacobson said that when the offense wasn't flowing, Bradley kind of baited you and I into getting into a track meet, and things kind of snowballed from there, and he doesn't want that to happen the rest of the way. Is that even more of an emphasis tonight against Indiana State, another guard-oriented team that likes to get out in transition, like you mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. What happened to us at Bradley is something that could happen to us again tonight if we don't play the transition defense that we need to play, because that's exactly the approach that Indiana State likes to play. They want to get it out, go, and they will shoot it quickly in transition. If you leave them open from three, Barnes is hitting a three-point shot at over 40% on the year. He's taken 130 of them. Scott can really score the basketball. I really thought that at least in our conference games, at Bradley was the first time that our struggles at the offensive end cut into our defense, and we didn't play good transition defense. Our defense was really good on Sunday against Loyola. You hold them to 56. You feel like you should win that game. Well, tonight it's going to be a similar approach defensively to that. We've got to get back and pick up shooters and not give them an open early shot, because they will take it. We saw it happen to us here a year ago, where they just got on a roll and they went from up three or four to up double digits really quickly. The way we're shooting and scoring offensively, that makes it an uphill battle. So a really key to watch for is how good the Panthers are in transition defense tonight and not allowing the Sycamores to beat us down court and get those open looks, because they got guys that can absolutely fill it up. Their guards, again, I mean, there's times that the two guards get them almost 50% of their offense, and a lot of it comes in transition.
Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, with us for just a few more seconds here on a Wednesday edition of the program. UNI in action tonight against Indiana State. Is there a go-to when you're in Terre Haute? I've been to Terre Haute a couple times, and there's not a whole lot going on there, but you always seem to know the places to eat and grab a beverage. So what's the lowdown? Give me the scouting report.
I'm telling you, we stay right downtown Terre Haute at the Hilton Garden Inn, which is just about a block and a half or two blocks from the Holman Center. But when we stay here, Kevin Boyle and myself like to go to Mr. Mauger's Brewery and Restaurant. Just really good food. They got some TVs up, so we were able to watch some college basketball last night. We had a great piece of grilled salmon and enjoyed a couple of Indiana brews that were really good. Then there's another little spot as you come back to our hotel called the Copper Bar that's kind of a neat little spot. So, yeah, there's just a couple of nice little places to sit and talk some basketball and do some of our pre-prep work for the broadcast, if you will.
Well, I feel like we've said this before, but hopefully you're calling a winner tonight on the Panther Sports Network. Gary, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, guys. We need to win badly, and we got to get it started tonight. So hopefully we start the turnaround tonight here in Terre Haute.
Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us a little bit ahead of the tip-off tonight, 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern, the Holman Center in Terre Haute. Greg Lansing's Sycamores, as we mentioned, 7-9 overall on the year, 2-2, though, in the Valley. UNI alone in last place at 0-4, and the numbers, as we mentioned, some of them during that segment there, they're shooting 37.5% from the floor, 29.6% from beyond the arc. That's last in the MVC, and they're negative 6.2 in rebound margin. So they're not knocking down shots. They're getting out rebounded, and they're doing a lot of things that you're not used to seeing out of a UNI team, and that's why they're 8-8 overall and still looking for that first MVC win.
And it's interesting when you read and hear Coach Jacobson talk about this team. It's almost kind of what he's saying is the Captain Obvious way of talking about sports. If you score more points, then you're going to win. A quote after the game against Loyola was, "We're not scoring enough points during the course of the game, and that makes it difficult." Yes, it does. They're struggling offensively right now, and I think the more staggering thing is Gary Rima telling us that there's a microbrewery in Terre Haute, Indiana. If that isn't evidence enough that microbreweries are taking over this country, I don't know what is.
I'm more interested in the salmon. That is not the dinner choice that I could picture Kevin Boyle enjoying. Gary seems to me to be more of the Ron Swanson red meat type of guy, but you never know. You feel like you know a guy, and then he drops that on you. Take us a quick break. We come back, we'll have another Big Board update for you. Plenty more to get to tonight before 7 o'clock. And do remember, if you're listening to us on 1600 AM, we're going to be stepping out tonight at 6:30 for the Iowa State women's broadcast. So you'll catch the final 30 minutes of the show tonight on our FM frequencies. Back with more of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM after this.
After he returned from overseas, on a night that might otherwise have been like any other 1940s night, he got down on one knee, looked up into her shining eyes, and placed the ring on her finger. She was one in the first generation of ladies to say yes to an engagement ring from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. That tradition hasn't changed. Decade upon decade, generation after generation, proposals from simple to elegant have featured engagement rings from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. The selection of diamonds and mountings is one of the largest in the area, and the expertise of the Dickens family has steadied the nerves of more than one young man. Stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
5:55, welcome in the Todd Brolkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. I should say welcome back, since you probably have been with us for a while, at least hoping so. By the way, I've done a little bit of research during that quick break. It's not Mr. Moggers, it's M. Moggers, restaurant and pub in historic. It's the historic district in Terre Haute, located in the E. Bleemel Building, built in 1837. It occupies the block between 9th and 9 and a half streets. What kind of hellscape has a half street? What is going on with Terre Haute? The people at Walmart don't know where the campus is. You got 9th Street and 9 and a half Street. I don't know. I don't even want to think about this. Although,
where would you rather
looks
be?
Like a nice place.
Terre Haute or Muncie? Nope, not going to get into that.
Built in 1837. It's been around for a while. Named after Matthias Mauger, the restaurant's namesake, a German immigrant, and one of the pioneers of early brewing. There you go. You learn something every day on the program, don't you? Back with more. And, of course, we've got to get in a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media in Iowa City today and had a few tidbits to deliver. First, he spoke glowingly about James Daniels and his decision to leave school for the NFL draft, even going so far as to say he's the best center prospect he's coached, even going back to his NFL days. He also said that Alaric Jackson is back from break and working out with the team, essentially in good standing after violating team rules in the bowl season. He also said that backup quarterback, the competition will be wide open, and incoming freshman Spencer Petras is going to be arriving in Iowa City tomorrow. The Iowa State men hung around with 12th-ranked Kansas last night in Lawrence, but ultimately fell 83-78. Lindell Wigginton submitted another good scoring output with 27 points on 50% from the floor. Donovan Jackson also scored 20, and Nick Weiler-Babbitt 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. Cameron Lard also turned in another double-double with 15 points and 10 rebounds. So it was really a pretty good showing as far as losses go, but the Cyclones do remain winless in the conference. The UNI men will also be going for their first conference victory tonight on the road at Indiana State. The Sycamores come in at 2-2 in the MVC, while the Panthers are the only remaining winless team. That game's going to tip off at 6 o'clock. Beginning at 6:30, our show's going to be on the FM frequencies only, and that's because we'll have the Iowa State women hosting Kansas State on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And then right after the show, we've got a top 10 men's matchup for you between 10th-ranked Xavier and top-ranked Villanova. That'll be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Got an interesting story we're going to get to in hour number three of the program tonight. It's something I saw earlier today, and I thought, no one's even going to notice this. And I see that Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette has picked up on it. It involves John and Mitch Keller, a couple minor league prospects that are trying to make it to the big leagues who are from Cedar Rapids. And needless to say, their now former agent made some headlines today. And we'll get you inside that story as well as the 6 o'clock showdown to come. Tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders take on the Waterloo Blackhawks this Saturday night at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. 319-366-1600. That's the number you're going to need to call. Hour number three is right around the corner. We'll kick it off with the showdown next.